4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
It's March 1st, the Tuesday, March 1st, 2011. You're listening to Catholic Connections. Teresa Tomeo with you, Ave Maria Radio, that being WDEO, AM 990, and WMAX, AM 1440. And, of course, Berger Broadcasting, if you're listening in the northern parts of the state, the lower UP, and all across northern lower Michigan. So glad you could tune in. We have a fantastic show. I want to thank, first of all, my producer, Andrew Kruchek, who is always there to do what needs to be done and to make this the best show possible. Came in early this morning so we could record and play for you a wonderful segment on Fox and Friends this morning with our very own Ellen Salter, who, of course, is a pro-life activist, the parent of a beautiful special needs baby, baby Megan. She was called upon by Fox News to discuss the situation with baby Joseph, and she did a fabulous job of explaining not only her family's journey with baby Megan, but her concerns about what's happening in this country and around the world. The baby Joseph, his family is actually from Ontario, but what's happening in terms of the way the world just does not appreciate every human life from the moment of conception to the end of natural death. And she just did a great job of explaining her position and the family's grace that they've gained and the blessings they've gained from caring for Megan. And Ellen's going to be joining us, and she's on her way home. Just spoke to her from the studio where they did the interview live in Ann Arbor. And she'll be joining us at 8:15. But first, we will share that clip right after the break so you can hear the interview, which I thought went very well. At the bottom of the hour, Bishop Earl Boyer, the Bishop of the Diocese of Lansing. He's going to be talking to us about a vicariate mission that's going on. And we'll also give, of course, a good plug to the Catholic Men's Conference that's coming up. Bobby Schindler from terriesfight.org is with us in the National Hour. Bobby is going to be traveling to Michigan in our area in April for some parish missions. But he also, of course, is working with Priests for Life to help the family of baby Joseph. So a number of things we'll be talking with Bobby about. And then Jen Giroux, she's a pro-life activist, and we'll get her take on a number of different stories making headlines right now. A big story this morning on the Catholic News Agency website about Archbishop Dolan, who is questioning the motive behind the removal of that very large pro-life ad from Soho. You remember what happened. It was a beautiful four-story ad with an adorable African-American girl in that billboard talking about the most dangerous place for African-Americans is the womb. And the whole idea behind that, of course, is to raise awareness in cities like New York, where the number of abortions is so high, but also the number of abortions in the minority communities is just skyrocketing. And so Archbishop Dolan is commenting on that, and we will read that story for you as we get closer to the interview with Jen Giroux and, of course, take your calls during all of our different segments. The phone number is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. So that's our show for today. Ellen Salter, Bishop Earl Boyer, Bobby Schindler, and Jen Giroux. Do want to remind you that 1 week from Friday is our big Catholic View for Women debut, and we would love for you to go on our page, our web page, our homepage at thecatholicviewforwomen.com, and we have, and we'll have later today up on the website, for the ladies out there, a recipe for your own Catholic View launch party. We're having a pre-launch party this Friday. Janet is coming in. We're having a few of our friends over at my house on Friday night. And Janet is going to be talking to some local pro-life activists about the show and the motive behind it and to encourage people to get the word out. Now, this is a pro-life show, obviously, because we're pro-life. But we also look at a lot of other issues facing women today. So it's broad in terms of discussion. We talk about vocation. We talk about body image. We talk about a number of different issues, the culture, engaging the culture. And, of course, we also talk a lot about abortion and contraception. And we even included our very own Janet Smith in the discussion, too. So we're very excited about the six-part pilot series. It starts airing next Friday at 6:30 in the evening. And since Janet and I were having a pre-launch party because she's coming into town this week, we came up with the idea of a launch party, a great way for you and your friends to get together, ladies, and to watch the show and then to discuss it afterwards. What did you like? What do you think needs to be covered? And God willing, if we get enough feedback, in addition to the six pre-taped shows, we will also be doing additional shows, who knows for how long, God willing. So that's our prayer, because there are so many topics. So many of you have already emailed us with discussion ideas, with topics of the program. So we would like it to continue. But we're grateful, nonetheless, to EWTN for taking on this project and for taking us up on our idea for a show that has to be different from the ones that are out there already. This one, of course, called The Catholic View for Women. The website, thecatholicviewforwomen.com. All right, let's take a look at the forecast. Actually, it wasn't too bad out there yesterday, although parts of the country are really concerned because it looks like they're going to be getting a lot of flooding with the melting snow and whatnot. Today, in our area for Metro Detroit, partly sunny skies, a high near 36, so very comfortable. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 32. On Thursday, 33, partly sunny. And on Friday, it gets a little warmer, cloudy skies and a high near 42. This is a long shot in terms of the forecast because heaven knows it could change. But if we're looking at the weekend, Saturday, warm, a high near 45. Sunday, a little bit cooler. Goes down again to the low 30s, cloudy, and a high near 33. Now, for the northern parts of the state, partly sunny today, a high near 37. Tomorrow, scattered snow showers. You're going to only have a high of 23, so your temperature up north is really dropping tomorrow. On Thursday, mostly cloudy, a high near 30. And on Friday, 38, with a 50% chance of snow, but probably not that much given the temps are going to be warmer, cloudy and a high near 58. For your weekend, at least at this point, chance of snow, cloudy, a high near 33. And on Sunday, not bad, partly sunny, but cold, a high near 29. You are listening to the Ave Maria Radio Network. Teresa Tomeo with you. Again, coming up right after the break, we check in with Ellen Salter. Right now, though, it is time to check your news. On a Tuesday morning, yay, it's March 1st. We made it out of January and February. Thanks be to God. Big story still on the headlines is Libya. The U.S. Treasury announcing it has frozen $30 billion in Libyan assets. As Daniel Reyes reports, it's the largest sum ever under U.S. sanctions and is part of an effort to force Gaddafi and his regime out of power.
Under an executive order by President Obama, any financial institution operating under U.S. jurisdiction is required to freeze assets or securities belonging to Muammar Gaddafi, his family, the Libyan government, or the nation's central bank. A Treasury official says there's no evidence that Gaddafi or other Libyan officials have tried to access these accounts with the aim of liquidating them. The U.S. effort follows moves by the U.K. and Switzerland to freeze accounts and a U.N. Security Council resolution urging nations to freeze financial transactions. Daniel Reyes, Washington.
Libya continues, meanwhile, to be a hot topic at the White House as President Obama hosted a meeting with the United Nations Secretary General. Susan Rice, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., said there was discussion of sanctions against Libya.
The U.N. has played a positive and very important role in efforts to end the bloodshed there and to hold the Gaddafi regime accountable and support the Libyan people.
The U.N. Security Council passing sanctions against Libya for the violent crackdown on anti-government protesters. The full U.N. General Assembly will take up the sanctions this week. Briefing reporters at the White House, Rice saying Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi should step down immediately. She called him delusional, unfit to lead, and disconnected from reality. Congress is working to avoid a shutdown of the government, a bipartisan deal emerging from a Republican proposal to trim $4 billion over the next 2 weeks. It would eliminate some programs that the president previously offered to cut. A vote is set for today in the lower chamber. Over in Wisconsin, the governor there, Scott Walker, getting help from fellow GOP governors in other states. The Republican Governor's Policy Committee launching a radio and TV ad today defending Walker's rigid budget bill stance.
In Wisconsin, leaders don't run away from tough problems like the Senate Democrats. Instead, they stand and lead like Governor Scott Walker.
Wisconsin Senate Democrats did leave the state to avoid voting on the legislation that removes most bargaining rights from public employees. The ad says Walker is leading while Democrats are fleeing their responsibility. It also claims Walker is simply trying to balance the budget without raising taxes. The central part of the country is bracing for more flooding from thunderstorms and melting snow today. Raging floodwaters have already displaced dozens of families and forced several counties in northwest Ohio to declare a state of emergency. Severe storms yesterday in Tennessee causing flooding, blamed for dozens of traffic accidents. And rising floodwaters causing problems in several Indiana communities yesterday, with many roads left absolutely impassable, police are saying. Captain Ron Lips with the Fishers Fire Department says many drivers tried to drive through the high water anyway and then had to be rescued.
you've got to understand how powerful just a couple of inches of water can be. It'll sweep you off your feet, and it can also sweep your car off the road if you're not paying attention.
Captain saying they're urging drivers to heed the warnings and try not to drive their vehicle through the high water. New research suggesting optimism and optimistic heart patients, well, that's a way to be healthier, live longer, than those who have a negative outlook. Duke University Medical Center researchers following 2,800 coronary artery disease patients for about 15 years. They were given a questionnaire in the hospital that asked their thoughts about recovery and returning to a normal lifestyle. The study showed the positive patients increased their chance of survival about 30% over the 15-year span than those who were pessimistic. Lead author John Barefoot isn't sure why an optimistic outlook works, but he has two possible reasons. The optimist is better at coping with the illness and less likely to give up. And negative expectations may lead to stress, which can have a damaging effect on the body. The study was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. I think this is fascinating because it's mind over matter, and I think this is really true. Speaking from experience, my husband's father had his first heart attack when he was 40. He had 5 heart attacks, open heart surgery 3 times, and the doctors have no idea why he is still alive. They've tried so many different procedures on him. He's not eligible for a heart transplant. He has, I don't know what percentage, very small percentage of the heart muscle left that's actually working, but he has got such a positive attitude. He is a very prayerful man, daily communicant, prays the rosary regularly, and just is so determined to just keep living. Drives us all crazy sometimes because he does more than he should be doing, but this attitude thing, I think it's huge. I think it's huge, and Scripture talks about that a lot too. Anyway, moving right along, in other news, Iowa officials are extremely confident they won't have to fight off Florida to have the first primary next year. Governor Terry Branstad's spokesperson, Tim Albrecht, would not say if Iowa would move its primary up, only declaring the state would be first.
Jockeying occurs every year, but the fact remains that Iowa will remain first and New Hampshire will remain second.
Iowa held its 2008 presidential primary January 3rd after Florida moved its to January 29th. The Iowa caucuses are traditionally seen as an early indication who Democrats and Republicans will pick as their presidential nominee. Men could be facing an increased risk of depression thanks to their dwindling status as primary breadwinners. A new study suggesting the rise in female breadwinners is leading to increasing rates of depression in men. Researchers say men attach greater importance to their roles as providers than women do. When they fail to fulfill that role, they're more likely to become depressed. A study out of Atlanta, Georgia, says that economic recession has led to a major loss in traditional male jobs, such as manufacturing and construction. Researchers predicting this factor, combined with society's shift toward encouraging men to discuss their feelings, will lead to greater diagnosis of depression in men. They add that men's depression rates could soon catch up to those of women. Currently, women are nearly twice as likely as men to develop depression in their lifetime. This study appears in full in the British Journal of Psychiatry. It's now almost 13 minutes past the hour. It's a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to WDEO, WMAX, and, of course, Berger Broadcasting if you're in the northern parts of the state. We're glad you're tuned in. As far as our forecast is concerned, for southeastern Michigan, partly sunny, a high near 36. Tonight, cloudy, low around 26. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a little bit cooler, a high near 32, but still comfortable, thanks be to God. Partly sunny on Thursday, and a high near 33. And for the northern parts of Michigan, you are going to have warmer temps, believe it or not, partly sunny skies and a high near 37 tomorrow. It gets cooler, much cooler actually, scattered snow showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 23. And then on Thursday for you in the northern parts of the state, a 50% chance of snow, cloudy with a low around 25. When we come back, we're going to check in with pro-life activist and concerned mom, Ellen Salter, who was interviewed on Fox News this morning, Fox and Friends, about baby Joseph. And Ellen had a chance to do a beautiful job of telling her story about their beautiful special needs baby, baby Megan. We'll be right back.
Do you or an aging loved one need assistance to remain as independent as possible in your home or assisted living residence? Are you concerned about the safety of a parent who is alone? Or do you just need a break from caring for a family member? If you find yourself in any of these situations, then you should contact Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels provides a compassionate, dignified, and respectful service that enables our clients to safely remain at home with services such as hygiene assistance, meal preparation, light housekeeping, and so much more. Our experienced and fully screened caregivers provide services up to 24 hours per day, and you help select your caregiver.
Visiting Angels would be happy to provide a free in-home care and safety assessment as well. With over 400 offices in the U.S., we are America's number one choice in home care. To get more information or to schedule a free assessment, call 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE or visitingangels.com.
Sunday at 4:30. Sunday at 4:30. Come on, say it. Sunday at 4:30.
Hey, Tom, what are you doing? You got a new pet?
Yeah, Sister Sarah, it's my new pet parrot, Piper, and I'm teaching him how to talk.
Piper the parrot?
Yeah, Piper the parrot.
What are you teaching him to say?
Sunday at 4:30.
Why?
Because then I'll never forget when Notes from Above goes on the air. He'll keep reminding me.
That's just dumb, bub. You'll get tired of hearing that pretty quick. I think Piper's smarter than Tom Lowy.
Never you mind, Sister Sarah. I'm teaching this bird what I want to teach this bird.
Piper's smarter than Tom Lowy.
Is that bird talking?
Piper's smarter than Tom Lowy.
He is.
No, Piper. Say Sunday at 4:30.
Piper's smarter than Tom Lowy.
Sunday at 4:30.
Piper's smarter than Tom Lowy.
Now you done it, Lowy.
Is Piper really smarter than Tom Lowy? Tune in to Notes from Above, the program that explores the intersection of music and faith next week at...
Sunday at 4:30.
Sunday at 4:30.
Welcome back. It's a Tuesday morning, March 1st, 2011. Good to be with you every single day here on Ave Maria Radio. Teresa Tomeo with you, and it's a pleasure always and an honor to introduce our friend Alan Salter, very active with Right to Life of Michigan, a pro-life speaker, also a mom of a beautiful special needs baby. Baby Megan, angel baby as I call her. And Alan was called upon by Fox and Friends to give her opinion and reflections on the situation with baby Joseph. Of course, it's a tragic case out of Ontario. The family just wants to take the baby home, and now the hospital has agreed to let the baby come home, but there's some problems with that as well. So we're going to play the clip of Ellen on Fox and Friends this morning, and she was live from a studio in Ann Arbor. She's now back home, and then we're going to chat with Ellen, her thoughts and what she would like to see happen. She had the opportunity, as you will hear, to comment on a number of different issues, not only her own situation, but the dignity of the human person, and also her concerns about what could happen in the United States if we get the health care package that was passed, of course, last year. Ellen Salter from Right to Life in Michigan and Dearborn, Michigan.
After a bitter legal fight, a Canadian hospital now is allowing the family of a dying baby boy to take their son home. But the hospital is insisting on following a court order to remove the breathing tube that keeps baby Joseph alive. Last week, we spoke to baby Joseph's father.
The treatment in London Hospital let him die. That's the doctor what he said. That's the best treatment. I don't know what kind of treatment that.
Our next guest knows what baby Joseph's family is going through. Like baby Joseph, this woman's 8-year-old daughter is in a vegetative state because of a neurological disease. Joining me now from Ann Arbor, Michigan is Ellen Salter. Good morning to you, Ellen.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Of course. Tell me about your daughter, Megan.
Our daughter, Megan, is 8 years old now. We have 4 children, and we care for Megan in our home. She breathes off a ventilator. She has a feeding tube, and she's unable to speak or move much at all. But we really just love this baby so much, and we consider her a great gift from God. And we have just been able in the state of Michigan to have a trach placed without any problem at all, so that she really wouldn't choke to death either, to be able to remove secretions and give her the comfort and love that we just pour out our love for her, because God has blessed us with many graces, and this little girl has brought joy to thousands of people mm-hmm. around the world that have called and emailed in support, and we just feel really honored to take care of our little baby. She does have a website, megansmiracles.com,
okay.
And we have some beautiful photos, and we love taking care of this special
We're showing a lot of those photos right now. I want to get your perspective, Ellen, if I may, about the baby Joseph situation in Canada, because it's just across the border from you. What have you made about that situation there, where the Canadian government was basically, the court was telling them what to do with their own child?
Yes, I find it very disturbing. I received a phone call from the Archdiocese of Detroit to simply pray for this family, and I immediately started praying, and I was just tugged in my heart to contact the family, Right to Life of Michigan, Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life, Terry Schindler Shivo's family, because I wanted to reach out to this family in need and to offer hope and lend our support and our love. We just feel it's very unfortunate they won't place the trach because initially the child could choke on its own saliva.
Right.
A trach would allow the child to breathe in comfort. That's
right.
All.
And that is the battle. The hospital says that they have to take the breathing tube out and they do not want to put a trach in. But I'm wondering about your concerns about the healthcare differences between Canada and America, because you have a child in a similar situation. Do you have any concerns here?
We have great concern here. The healthcare now, we are able to, again, take our child home and get whatever support we need from the medical institution that we use, University of Michigan. And in Canada, for instance, my girlfriend that does have a special needs child, she moved her whole family here to the States. And they were able to get an MRI within, 24 hours
right.
of their arrival and be able to have a diagnosis and care for their child here. And I just think it's parental rights
right.
to be able to offer your child the best hospital care.
Right, right.
And,
it
is scary because if we end up with that health care, who knows what would happen to children like Megan, who have the dignity that any other person has.
Right. Well, thank you so much for sharing Megan's story with us this morning. Ellen Salter out of Ann Arbor. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Ellen Salter is on the phone with us right now. So how do you feel? You did a great job.
Thank you, Teresa. Well, it's all God's work, and it's all for the cause right now of baby Joseph and really all those that have a loved one that is suffering, that we, it's our parental right, and it's, you know, every life is from God, and to be denied the right to really, I mean, a breathing tube is just, just to hold his little airway open.
Well, it's unthinkable, isn't it?
It's really unthinkable. It's earth-shattering that this case is even a case, that they wouldn't give him it's really comfort care.
Well, you heard the father say that's their idea of treatment is to take the trach out and then let him go home and die, you know?
And that is so sad. Mm-hmm. And we really never know. I mean, this child, our child, was told that she would not live past, you know, the next day or two, and now she's 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So really you don't know what God's plan is, and we can't play God. We have to administer everything we can for the family and in hopes that maybe he'll be healed. You never know, you know. But I just, it is a great concern, the health care, and it's a great concern that they're letting them take this baby home knowing that this baby would not be able to keep its little airway open. And
I think one of the most important things you did in this morning was, which I thought was so beautiful, the pictures you had of baby Megan and the family, you and Mike and the entire family, showing how much you love her and showing that you could see the joy and the love on your face. And I think that's an image that, you know, people, because of the desensitization in our culture, and you and I talk about this all the time, they associate a special needs child with sadness and mourning, and not that there isn't, you know, pain and struggle and suffering, obviously you've addressed that, but that the ultimate joy and love that you have for this child surpasses all of that. And you said this morning all the blessings you've gotten from you know, loving and raising Megan.
That's the perfect message, Teresa, that I think on your show that you live and breathe every day, that everyone has human dignity, and because she can't walk and can't speak, she's not less valuable than I am because I can speak and I can walk. Those that can't speak, we as Catholics need to be their voice, and we need to make it heard that we're pro-life in every stage, you know, that we don't agree with abortion, all the way through the human dignity of an elder person dying, that we have to take care of these individuals because they have a soul from God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's our culture has turned away from pro-family, turned away from pro-life, and we just need to pull it. We need to pull it back. And this case is just a very sad case that you know, my heart is just aching for this family that wants to just take this baby home in an environment where the baby would be safe. And the baby is not safe without an airway, without a trach to help keep that airway open. So I'm very, very sad for this case.
What are you concerned in terms of, as you were asked this morning, about the implications with this health care situation in the United States looming?
Well, our concern would be if we switch health care, that the doctors would have the say, or the government would have the say, or the health care would have the say of who in this society is valuable and who is not. And I think that's the bottom line, is that they're devaluing the human beings that we are. And for them to say someone that's handicapped doesn't have value is so wrong in God's eyes. And I feel like the bottom line is the doctors in some countries, many countries around still, can rip that child from your arms and cause the child's death because that child is not a valuable human being in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the bottom line, Teresa, is that all comes down to human dignity.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've contacted both Priest for Life and also Terry's Fight, correct?
Yes, I have. I had a chance to talk to Bobby for a few minutes, and then his mother called back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to reach out. I had a call from the Archdiocese of Detroit from a friend, Socorro, and she just simply called to say, can you pray for this baby? Looks similar to Megan, and the family needs prayers. And just, it must have been the Holy Spirit just said, you will pray, Ellen, but you are going to reach out to this family. And I just prayed, God, use me. Just use me.
And then you get a call from Fox News.
And then we get a call from Fox News, right? You know, you put yourself out there, you know, God, use me. And
but think about
only
this is an
minutes,
international
you know?
Newscast, though. This is like CNN. This is all over the world.
Well, and it's God's work, and I hope that it changes hearts. Actually, my husband already received a phone call from a deacon in Connecticut that would like to speak with us.
Oh, see.
And he's working on a case in Canada, and they are institutionalizing handicapped individuals, not letting them
wow.
go home. And he is trying to break that pattern, and he's already made a phone call to my husband to see if we could either go there or talk to him and try to help him not institutionalize. These children need to be loved ones, elderly. They need to be in the homes of their, you know, caregivers.
Oh, see, I'm getting
possible.
The chills now. I'm getting the chills thinking about, because you said yes to caring for this amazing child of yours and all the ways you're going to be able to reach out to help other people. What a gift, Ellen.
Thank you. Well, we're willing to help if anyone is listening that that needs help, that needs prayer, that needs guidance. I've been put in touch with a lot of special needs families that have a special needs child to mentor them. And in turn, they end up actually mentoring me. And I think we just work together. And as a society, we need to be, like we were saying, Teresa, be pro-family, be pro-life, and just stand behind each other. Lend a hand to your brother and sister in Christ. And if there's a need, pray like crazy and reach out and say, how can I help you in this time of despair? And to be able to bring hope to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Just bring hope to each other and lean on each other. And if there's anyone listening, I'd be more than happy to talk, do a speaking engagement, anything that anyone needs. We have a website, Teresa knows. Teresa's been on the website, and it's megansmiracles.com.
M-E-G-H-A-N. And I'm so glad you got, you know, and boy, I just told you, you did such a good job. And I just want to stress this, that you looked so joyful and so peaceful, and you just glowed. I mean, you didn't look stressed at all. And, you know, first of all, being, you know, that can be intimidating if you haven't done that before. I know you've been on camera before and you've been in front of the public, but it can be intimidating if you haven't done it before. But you were just the love of Christ, and I mean this sincerely, not only as a friend, but as a viewer watching in my family room, just watching you, you could see the joy of caring for Megan and what it's done for your family and the blessings. And so I think probably beyond anything for me as a Christian, as a pro-lifer, that was what I kept thinking about. Everybody is seeing the pictures of baby Megan. I love the fact he got the Blessed Mother in there, too.
Yes. You told me. I haven't seen the clip yet, so I couldn't see this.
I was like, go, Our Lady. She's in there. Oh, it's so great.
I love that. That is just, I can't wait
to
watch it.
But you know what, though? I mean, if you think about that, that imagery, though, is so powerful because, you know, maybe there's a fallen away Catholic who hasn't prayed the rosary in a while or said a Hail Mary, and they see that, and they see, you know how powerful Mary is.
God willing.
You know?
Oh, well, and that's how God uses you every day, Teresa. I mean, you are the voice.
No. I'm not talking about me. We're talking about what you're doing, and you are. I just think it was very, it was just, I remember I told you yesterday, you have to do this interview. You have to do
this
interview.
You did, and I was like, well, maybe Mike can do it. And he's the one that emailed a pro-life doctor that was speaking out for this family. And my husband took the opportunity to email the doctor and say, which we should all do, thank you for standing for life. Thank you for being a witness to the value of life, and thank you for helping this family. Here's our website. And then Fox, he may have forwarded it to Fox News. But that's just how it all works, and God places people in our lives to support and love us. And you do that every day, Teresa. Thank you for all your work.
Well, again, thank you for you know, saying yes to life. And in terms of where you think this can go, I mean, what would you like to be able to do, just to be there for the family, to talk with them? Would just like, I mean, what do you envision your role in this now?
You know, I'm not sure where God has me, you know, slated for this family. I certainly would love to meet the family. I mean, that would be a gift for me. And to meet the baby and to pray with the family. I don't know what their step is, like if they'll come to Michigan with this baby or they'll just take the baby home. I certainly would be willing to help them with the knowledge I have and the connections I have with the hospitals I have here. I would be willing to do just about anything for them. Or if it went to court, I'd be willing to help out there too. Really, wherever God wants to use me, I'm very open, and to any family that needs help or is facing a pro-life issue. But I am willing to do just about anything, Teresa, for this family.
Well, God bless you. And
so,
I really, again, I think that the statement that you made on international TV this morning was what a gift that Megan is, or any person with special needs. You know, doesn't matter what we do or what we can do. It's like I was saying yesterday, and I talked about this on Saturday at the Women's Conference. It's who we are because we are created, all of us, in the image and likeness of God. You know, so it was just such a beautiful interview. And again, I just I thought you were glowing, and obviously the peace of Christ spoke through you. And I think, you know, Ellen, this is so important because so many people, you know, people maybe even in a similar situation, you know, to yours and Mike's, may not have that faith, and may deep down know that they want to, you know, raise their child, but they're struggling. You know, people are telling them, oh, it's not worth it. Institutionalize this person, or, you know, as people have told you, why are you keeping Megan? I mean, the horrible things they say. And so maybe there's someone who doesn't have that faith who has tuned in this morning, or may see it on the website because it's going to be posted. Of course, they post all of this, and because this is such a big story, I'm sure it'll get a high prominence on their website at Fox News. You don't know how that statement of your joy and love, you know, for Megan is going to affect people.
Well, God willing, it will. Even if it helps one person, one soul. And as you just stated, Teresa, people do look at handicapped people with pity. And really, we all have handicaps, but physically handicapped people, it's just so, well, it's so visible. So you see it, and you're not sure how the family handles themselves, but it's just the grace that God gives us each day, each moment, that helps us. But these special needs, children, adults, the ones that need our care, the ones that are vulnerable in our society, they're the ones we really have to reach out and help, because, you know, they could be in despair or, but I, well, I don't even know. I might backtrack on that statement because, like, Megan has so much joy. And she can't speak, but boy, she can smile. And when she lays there in her little bed or lays in our arms and the kids kind of fight to play with her, and she is just soaking up the love. And if we see Christ in every face, like Mother Teresa, it didn't matter their race. It didn't matter they're handicapped. It didn't matter, you know, their, you know, what they had to offer. She gave them food. And I've read four of her books in the last couple of months because I'm trying to find out her secret to loving unconditionally. And you know what? There is no secret. It is just the gospel, and it's just looking at every face that she helped and held as they died. Every face is Jesus Christ's face. And if we look at, if you imagine, Teresa, if we all looked at each other in this world, this society, as Jesus's face,
what a difference
that
it would make.
A difference it would make, that we're all brothers and sisters. And that's why we want to reach out to this family, because he's our little brother.
Yes.
Joseph is our little brother in faith.
Oh, well, thank you for your work. Give us the website again if people want to find out more about Megan.
Okay, it's a brand new website, and you can go to megansmiracles.com. It's spelled M-E-G-H-A-N-S Miracles, Megan's Miracles.
And so how is Meggie reacting to being on international television?
Well, I have to go down because actually I just came in about 2 minutes before your phone call came in. So I have to go down and give her lots of kisses. And she
and tell her that Auntie T says she looks stunning on TV.
I will tell her. Thank you, Teresa, for all your work. Thank you for providing an opportunity for listeners and spreading the faith worldwide. Thank you.
Well,
Teresa.
Listen, thank you for your message and your ministry, and keep up the great work. And again, I was so proud of you this morning, and I think the most important thing you did was you spoke Christ to the world, and you showed this beautiful child and the blessings that she's brought into your life. So thanks.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right,
God
honey.
You,
God bless.
Teresa.
Hey, okay. Remember us when you're famous, okay?
I'll follow suit with you.
Okay.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay, God bless. Ellen
God
Salter,
bless
of course, pro-life activist from Dearborn, Michigan, her and her husband, Mike, and their family raising a baby Megan, and Megan is a special needs baby, and many of us in the Archdiocese of Detroit and Michigan know all about this amazing family. They're friends of a lot of you out there in the listening audience, and Ellen on Fox and Friends this morning sharing her insights and her thoughts on this very tragic situation that's developing right across the river in Ontario with this beautiful baby boy, the family fighting to take him home and all kinds of complications and the government stepping in when they shouldn't step in and just pretty scary stuff. And we're going to be continuing the conversation with Bobby Schindler. That is later in the program at about 9:15. Bobby's going to be joining us. Bobby and his family are also coming to town at two locations to give a special Lenten presentation, and we'll be talking about that as well. Plus your phone calls at 877-573-7825. Right now we are tracking down the good bishop, Bishop Earl Boyer from the Diocese of Lansing. He wants to tell us about some very exciting things going on in his diocese coming up for Lent. If you have a question for the bishop, 877-573-7825. It's a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to Ave Maria Radio. March 1st, thanks be to God. Spring, let's see. I'm looking at the calendar. Where is spring? March 20th, it's a Sunday. Just keep that in mind. We're getting closer. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sister John Dominic, a member of the Dominican Sisters of Mary and principal of Spiritus Sanctus Academy. At Spiritus Sanctus, children receive a superb Catholic education and grow in their love for God. I want to invite you to come to our open house here at the Ann Arbor School on Sunday, February 6th, or at the Plymouth School on Wednesday, February 2nd. All the details are on our website, spiritussanctus.org, and while you're there, click on YSSA to see what a great Catholic education can do for your family.
Hey guys, Tom Lowy here. This world's a mess, and a lot of times it's a mess because we guys aren't doing our job as Christian men, and that's got to change. We want to be better fathers, better husbands, better men of faith. That's why I'm telling you about the Accept the Challenge Men's Conference at the Lansing Center on Saturday, April the 2nd. The conference features three speakers who will bring you to your feet and then put you on your knees. Guys like Mike Cumbie, a Protestant pastor for 20 years, when suddenly he hears God calling him to his true home. Or how about Richard Lane, son of Night Train Lane? Remember him? This guy's a former street corner preacher who shows men how to preach and live the gospel. And then we got Steve Wood, who's going to talk about that three-letter word that gets a lot of us guys in trouble. You know what I'm talking about. Chastity. Yeah, chastity. And how to fight off the temptations of pornography and how to be a man of God. You interested? Just go online and register at accepttechallenge.org. Seating's limited, so register now and put April 2 on your calendar. I'll see you there.
One day, Kay mentioned to a friend over lunch that she was looking to change accounts. So her friend told Kay about the CPA firm that does her accounting, Myler and Zipka. Actually, that friend also learned about Myler and Zipka from another friend. It's called word-of-mouth advertising, and it's the way Myler and Zipka gets most of their clients. You know there is nothing more powerful than a personal recommendation from a friend. A friend isn't going to risk losing a friendship by knowingly giving you bad advice. The professionals at Myler and Zipka do everything they can to nurture their clients' relationships by searching harder to find honest ways of saving them money. So why are they running this ad when word-of-mouth advertising is working so well? For two reasons. One, Myler and Zipka is a strong supporter of Ave Maria Radio. And two, you may not have a friend who is a Myler and Zipka client. Call Myler and Zipka today, 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500. And learn why people who start with Myler and Zipka stay with Myler and Zipka.
Now at the Ave Maria online store, the Truth in Life Dramatized Audio Bible. This brilliant recording of the New Testament features over 70 actors and actresses of many generations that give this a unique spirituality, and the background music adds to this rich production. Endorsed by the Vatican and Ave Maria Radio's Al Cresta, the Truth in Life Dramatized Audio Bible is at the online store at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Each week we go into the Ave Maria CD library. We pull on a talk or two to see what our Lord might have to say to us. Most of these talks are recorded at area gatherings and conferences. Most of the speakers are nationally known. The topics are varied, but they are all centered on the Lord, and they all are worth your listening time. You're back for Mass. It's not yet dinner time. Why not sit back and join us? Be fed on the Lord. Listen this and every Sunday afternoon at 3 for Putting On the Mind of Christ on 990 WDEL in the Metro Detroit area and 1440 WMAX in the Saginaw Valley. Putting On the Mind of Christ is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Hope you're having a blessed March 1st. Teresa Tomeo with you. Up in the national hour, we're going to be checking in with Bobby Schindler from terriesfight.org about a couple of issues. Bobby is coming into the Archdiocese of Detroit for more than one speaking engagement, maybe even more than that. He's got at least two, and they've got a special Lenten presentation that they're going to be doing, and we'll tell you about that. There will be one on the east side and one on the west side, so a good portion of the area will be covered. It'll be great. If you've never heard them speak, it's a powerful thing. Bobby and I spoke together last year at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Conference in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and it was a really, really great talk by Bobby describing what he had been through and where we are going in this country, similar to what Alan Salter just had to say at about 8:20 this morning. And then we're going to check in with Jen Giroux. She's an RN, and she works very diligently in the area to raise awareness about the issue of this contraceptive mentality and the impact that's had on society. You know, there have been some pretty amazing and ridiculous statements, not, you know, surprisingly, coming from some prominent talk show hosts about the issue of abortion, about contraception, about how we in the pro-life movement, but specifically conservatives in the House who voted to defund Planned Parenthood last week, we are evil, immoral, unethical, and stupid. That is according to Joy Behar. As Pam Stenzel said yesterday on the program, who put her in charge of making statements about, you know, things that are important in life? But it's pretty scary. But when you have people who have platforms like that and they can constantly, you know, put those statements out there, it adds to this overall desensitization. So Jen will be along to comment. I'm sure she'll have some comments about the baby Joseph story and a lot of other things that we can talk about, the Phil Klein ethics trial and some other issues as well. 877-573-7825. We're having a hard time tracking down His Excellency Bishop Earl Boyer. Of course, all bishops are extremely busy. Well, we'll continue to do our best to get a hold of him. In the meantime, continuing our discussion on this whole baby Joseph case, Father Frank Pavone and Priests for Life came out yesterday saying they would pay for any procedure that was needed and to get baby Joseph into the U.S. to do what they can to help him. Father Frank was on Fox News yesterday, and we have that clip for you now. Let's go to the clip of Father Frank Pavone speaking about the baby Joseph case.
Our next guest represented the family of Terry Schiavo in some similar issues. You may remember that case. Her family wanted her kept alive on a feeding tube over the objections of her husband. Here now with me is Father Frank Pavone, the National Director of Priests for Life. Father Frank, welcome. Good to have you
here.
Good
to be with you again.
Obviously, it's such a sad story, and your heart just breaks for this family and, and what they're going through. You know, why won't the hospital allow them to take the baby off of the breathing tube, have the tracheotomy done, because apparently there is another hospital who would perform that surgery, and then they could bring the baby home.
And that's exactly our question, because the issue here is, you know, medical boards and medical institutions should give us medical information, not value judgments on the child's life. It seems to me that's what's happening here, because they admitted the tracheotomy would give the baby additional months to live, as happened with their other child. So the question here is, how much say does a family, in the case of a baby, have about how they want to care for that baby? How much it extends to all of us? How much do we as patients, when we're in situations where decisions have to be made, how much do we have to say? Or does the doctor always have the last and absolute word? That really is the cultural issue.
You would think that the parents could just say, you know, we want our child. We're going to take our child home, and we're going to have someone else perform this procedure, because they did that procedure with their daughter, who tragically had the same condition, and they were able to have her at home with them and die, as they say, you know, in the way that they believe God wanted to take that child.
And we're ready to help them to make that happen, by the way. We've been negotiating with some doctors here in the States, with some other institutions, and we even have a plane standing by to bring this baby to one of those institutions.
Do you have a doctor who would perform the tracheotomy on this baby?
Well, we're negotiating with several of them right now, and we already have transportation lined up. So, you know, again, it's a question for us all. You mentioned about the Terry Schiavo case. Yeah. And I was kneeling there by her bed as she was dying. She had been deprived of water for almost 2 weeks. And as I moved my hand to touch her head, inches away from her head was a vase of flowers filled with water. Yeah. The absurdity of it is exactly, again, what we're seeing now. We're not saying, by the way, that you always have to keep people alive. That's not what this is about. What we're saying is that you make the right judgment, but the right judgment is not a matter of numbers and medical opinions. There are such things as worthless treatments, but there's no such thing as a worthless life.
What do you make of the fact that the hospital, as Eric Sean reported, the hospital says that numerous attempts have been made to allow the baby to breathe spontaneously on its own, and that those attempts have failed?
That's fine. I mean, we the parents and all of us, really, accept the inevitability of death. And if that's going to be the case, you know, the child can be removed from the breathing tube, but there are different ways of removing the tube. Right. You can just pull the tube off, or you can wean them off. And the parents are saying, look, just give us our child. We want to get some additional opinions, but let us care for the child even until he dies.
All right. Dr. Frank Pavone, thank you very much. It's such a difficult story, and we wish the family all the best.
We sure do.
Thanks to you for helping them.
Thank you.
All right.
Father Pavone must get a kick out of the fact that he's now a medical doctor. But anyway, I thought that was a very good interview, and Father Pavone talking about this situation. And, wow, getting a lot of attention, which is good, getting a lot of discussion. And this is the whole idea, to bring these discussions out into the light, you know, to not hide our light under a bushel, and to get out there and expose this for what it is, you know, an attack on human life and human dignity. And I think this is happening, and I think this is how we engage the culture, by getting out there and not running away from the secular media, but taking every opportunity we can to put a true pro-life voice out there, you know, because sometimes, you know, this is like breathing to us, those of us in the pro-life movement and those of us who are have been pro-life, you know, for many years. We get this stuff. We understand it, but we're coming at this from an entirely different world view. And as I said to Ellen this morning, somebody sitting there in their, you know, family room or living room with their cup of coffee and seeing the joy on her face and how calm she was and how happy and joyful she was to have this privilege of you know, raising baby Megan. And they've been very honest in terms of the struggles and the pain they've gone through, but the overall joy and blessing that this child has been, not only to the Salters, but to so many people around Michigan, around Detroit, and, of course, around the country and the world now. People, you can see that. It was tangible. And so for someone who's struggling with a situation like this and thinking that, you know, they just have to give in, if they don't have that faith basis, if they don't think that then anything else is possible, these kinds of discussions put this out there before them. It may help, you know, for two things. First of all, it may help someone in a similar situation, as Ellen was speaking about, but it could also help someone, you know, break through. I mean, break through that cloud of darkness that's around them. Someone who isn't pro-life, who doesn't understand what we're talking about when we're talking about the dignity of each human person created in the image and likeness of God. We've had so many readings the past couple of weeks from Genesis and also from Sirach regarding, you know, being made in his image and talking about the creation story and who we are. It's not what we do. And Pia De Salemi and I talked about this on Saturday at the Catholic Women's Conference. We attach our dignity to our jobs and, you know, to what we look like, or to whether we can, you know, hop from bed to bed, our sexuality, or, you know, being legalized in terms of being able to, you know, have the right to kill our children. Like, this is who we're supposed to be, what we do. No, it's who we are in Christ. It's who we are as human beings. First and foremost, created in his image and likeness. So these are really, I think, important moments in our history right now. these battles that are being waged, good and evil, life and death, right out there. So I just want to encourage you to blog about this, to talk about this, to send people to megansmiracles.com, priestsforlife.org, to discuss this, to talk about what's happening here and what could happen, God forbid, if we get health care in its present form in this country. Not that we don't need reforms in health care, but it's just an incredible opportunity, really, to talk about this issue. Right now, though, we have word that we do have the good bishop on the phone with us, Bishop Earl Boyer. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. How are you today?
I'm good, and happy almost spring, Your Excellency. It's almost here.
Well, it is a good thing that February is over with.
Oh, thanks be to God for small miracles. Well, listen, I know you're very, very busy in your wonderful Diocese of Lansing. You've got some special things going on with an upcoming vicariate mission. Tell us about it.
Well, we're having a parish mission from involving eight parishes in Livingston County. And one of the things I really like about it is that, you know, we often hear the term that we are a pilgrim people. And it's true. You know, our citizenship is not here on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we have to constantly realize this. And so the notion of having a mission that's going to move from place to place probably is an apt thing for us Christians. But at any rate, it's going to take place Sunday through Tuesday, March 13th, 14th, and 15th. And it's beginning on Sunday at St. Pat's in Brighton, Monday at St. Mary Magdalene in Brighton, and then Tuesday St. John's in Hartland. And it's meant to focus on families, building up strong families in these shaky times. And there's going to be sessions, breakout sessions for children, for the youth, and for adults each of those evenings. And I have the great honor of closing the mission on that Tuesday night, March 15th, at St. John Hartland with Mass. So it should be a good time.
Your Excellency, what do you think in terms of your work as a minister and as a shepherd? When we talk about families in shaky times, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, frankly, is for people to realize how important marriage is. When you see how few people are getting married, how many are shacking up or just doing other things, it's really something. Our society is losing the very core of what it means to be a civilized society when it loses the heart of it, of marriage. And unfortunately, we're losing that. It's a sad thing. So I just think realizing how important marriage is the first step.
So how can we be witnesses to that? I was just telling our audience, I don't know if you saw the clip this morning on Fox News, but Ellen Salter from Dearborn, Michigan was on talking about baby Joseph and the tragedy with that story, and then she was talking about the own joy in her life for raising a special needs baby. And I thought, what a great witness she was to life and to faith and to the fact that every person is created in the image and likeness of God. It's just so important, isn't it, for us to be a witness in any way we can?
Well, I think we're first of all witnesses by reminding society that marriage between a man and a woman has been the core just of human society from its beginning. Why in the last 50 years should, you know, 10,000 years of human history be upturned? It doesn't make any sense. But then from the point of view of a Christian, the revelation, this is the way we understand how God relates to his people. God is wedded to his people, and that is a fruitful wedding. It's just, you know, it boggles my mind that this doesn't seem obvious, that we have to really encourage and support marriage as the cornerstone of our society and of our church.
How do we get people to understand it, though? Because the way we've been desensitized, and of course the Catechism of the Catholic Church has a beautiful teaching on, you know, dealing with people with same-sex attractions, and it's clearly calls all of us to live a chaste life, so it's not a discriminatory statement by any means. But to the world that doesn't understand this, you know, what is the best way? Because a lot of us may know people with same-sex attractions, and we love them. They're our friends, family members. How do we express marriage and what it means in light of where this has gone, this conversation has gone, you know, in the secular world?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, first of all, by saying that we have to make sure we tell them that we love them. I think that's the most important thing. Love should always be the groundwork for everything that we do and say. But having said that, I don't think that this whole point is to focus on same-sex attraction. I think the focus needs to be on marriage itself and the good of society and the good of the church, the little church, the family. If we keep our focus on that, that's a very positive statement. And I think, unfortunately, we've just not done enough to promote marriage in the past. I think we've taken it for granted. But that's where I would see as the most important thing.
Yeah, I guess what I'm getting at, Your Excellency, is that in the culture, you know, in the media, in Hollywood, and in the prominent forms of the media that you know bombard us every day with the messages, they are presenting a family with two people who have a same-sex attraction as the same as a husband and wife. And so, how do we distinguish this without coming across as sounding discriminatory in any way?
Well, again, I think we tell people that we love them. I think that's the most important. But I think we also say that, you know, this is written in our bodies. This is mm-hmm. who we are. God has created us male and female. They belong together. What is given to us is not something we can just define willy-nilly. And I think it's important that we focus on that, that it is the given. What's given us in nature, what's given us in grace.
Mm. All right. So in terms of getting information about the mission, what's the best? Is the information on the Lansing Diocese website?
You know, it may well be. I'm not sure. The best thing to do would be just to contact any one of the parishes in Livingston County because they would have that schedule.
Okay, and it takes place the 13th, 14th, and 15th, Sunday to Tuesday of March, and it's 7 to 8:30 p.m., and the first one is in St. Pat's in Brighton, correct?
Correct. Uh-huh.
All right. Well, listen.
The second one.
Go ahead.
The second one's Mary Magdalene, and the third one's St. John's in Hartford. So.
All right. Well, we're going to have you back on to talk about the men's conference as well, but I know you're busy. Thank you so much for all that you do. We miss you in Detroit.
Oh, Teresa, you're so sweet.
No, we do. We miss you. You're just a great bishop. You were so active, and you're doing a great job in Lansing. But, you know, if I had my choice, not that I have anything to say about it, but we'd love to have you back in the Archdiocese of Detroit.
Well, I have to tell you, though, Lansing is the best diocese in the country.
I'm going to tell the Archbishop.
That's good. I'll be seeing him tomorrow. Make sure you let him know before tomorrow.
All right. We'll do. Hey, listen, thanks a lot, Your Excellency. God bless you. Continue all the great work you're doing. And we look forward to talking to you for our membership drive in April and, of course, also to help promote the men's conference. Have a blessed day. Pray for us.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks so much. Bishop Earl Boyer of the Diocese of Lansing talking about a terrific mission that's coming up. Let me review this with you. I've got the synopsis right here in front of me. The eight parishes of Livingston County coming together for prayer, reflection, and renewal. The first week of Lent, March 13th, 14th, and 15th. It starts, of course, on a Sunday and runs 7 to 8:30 at St. Pat's. And then it ends up at St. John's in Heartland. More information, you can call any of those parishes. Coming up next, Bobby Schindler and Jen Giroux. Stay tuned. It's a Tuesday morning. We'll be right back. March is here. Yay!
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Art for God's Sake is a juried professional art show that highlights sacred themes. St. Anastasia's in Troy will host our inspiring art celebration May 13th through the 15th. The exhibition includes live music, live art performances, and wine tasting. To learn about tickets, submitting your own art, or to become a sponsor, go to artfgs.com. A percentage of proceeds will benefit the homeless in Detroit. Come celebrate Art for God's Sake May 13th at St. Anastasia's and at artfgs.com.
Do you or an aging loved one need assistance to remain as independent as possible in your home or assisted living residence? Are you concerned about the safety of a parent who is alone? Or do you just need a break from caring for a family member? If you find yourself in any of these situations, then you should contact Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels provides a compassionate, dignified, and respectful service that enables our clients to safely remain at home with services such as hygiene assistance, meal preparation, light housekeeping, and so much more. Our experienced and fully screened caregivers provide services up to 24 hours per day, and you help select your caregiver. Visiting Angels would be happy to provide a free in-home care and safety assessment as well. With over 400 offices in the U.S., we are America's number one choice in home care. To get more information or to schedule a free assessment,